Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Say, I've just hit on a swell idea. You know, when you sit down to a big bowl full of Wheaties at breakfast time, you're getting lots of champion nourishment, the bodybuilding nourishment of real whole wheat. And just so you'll be sure to remember how important Wheaties are in your regular training diet, suppose we set that Wheaties nourishment to music, like this. Wheaties give you iron, and phosphorus, and calcium, and vitamin G, and vitamin B1, and proteins, and lots of food energy. Yes, that's what you get from Wheaties, those champion flakes of nourishing whole wheat. Now, maybe you're asking, well, isn't one whole wheat breakfast dish just as good as another at giving me this valuable nourishment? Well, suppose we take another kind of whole wheat breakfast dish and set it to music. Here's what's likely to happen. Something seems to be missing. Yes, it's that very important food element called vitamin B1. The vitamin we need regularly for good appetite and the normal functioning of the nervous system. Now, can you guess what's happened? Well, a lot of other so-called whole wheat foods may be lacking in this essential vitamin B1. They don't give you all of this important vitamin you've got a right to expect from a champion breakfast dish. But Wheaties... Now, there's a real champion for giving you vitamin B1 and other good kinds of nourishment that belong in an athlete's training diet. In fact, Wheaties hand you all the vitamin B1 of whole wheat grain. Now, that's what you ought to be having regularly. An all-around breakfast of champions. Milk and fruit and lots of those keen-tasting Wheaties. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. A fleet of Moro warbeetas, paddled by hundreds of warriors, is coming down the jungle river in Mindanao to attack the Moro village of Cotabango, where Uncle Jim's schooner, the Spindrift, lies at anchor. But Jack Armstrong, Billy and Betty, and Uncle Jim are not on board the schooner. They are in Malua's Binta with 20 warriors. They are intercepting the fleet several miles up the river from the village, for Malua hopes that the luminous dragon's eye ring will make the attacking Moros turn back. The primitive fleet has stopped while its leader, the Dato, forges ahead in his Binta to meet Malua. As the two crafts approach each other, each on the alert for treachery, Malua stands like a brown-skinned Viking at the prow of his ship. Jack and Billy and Uncle Jim sit in the middle of the narrow boat. Listen.
Look at that Vita come, Jack. She does everything but fly.
Oh, but at that, I don't believe she's as fast as our Vita, Billy.
I don't know. She's got more warriors in it.
But she's a bigger and heavier boat, Billy. Look at all that fancy carved woodwork on her prow and gunwale.
She looks faster than me. What do you think, Uncle Jim?
I don't think she's quite as fast as our Vita, Billy. Her bamboo outriggers are heavier and thicker. That creates quite a drag in the water.
Gosh, I hope you're right. We can't fight this whole fleet. And if that dragon's eye ring doesn't do all that Malua said it would...
We're going to have to outfit every beat on this river.
Uncle Jim, I don't think there's going to be any trouble. But just in case there is, shouldn't we get Betty up here with us instead of a concern?
Perhaps you're right, Jack. Hi, Betty.
What is it, Uncle Jim?
You'd better come forward to the middle of the boat with us. Watch yourself. Don't interfere with the boatmen.
All right, Uncle Jim, I'll come.
Look, Jack, look at that beat up.
Why, what's up?
They got their shields and spears up again. They look as though they're going to attack us, Jack.
Look at them. They want to stop paddling and pick up their shields and weapons.
There. They put their shields and spears back. Maybe it's all right after all. Gosh, I wonder what made them act that way.
Here's the answer right here. Sit down, Betty.
Did I make them do that, Uncle Jim? My, but I must look scared.
I guess they're jumpy, Betty, and don't know what to expect. When they saw someone get up suddenly and start forward, they thought it was the signal for a surprise attack on their Venus.
Gosh, all hemlock and our men are nervous.
Ooh,
If both sides are just waiting for a drop of a hat, there's sure to be trouble.
But they don't think that this one Nita would ever try to attack their whole fleet.
They might be afraid we'd attack Dodono, however. The rest of the fleet's quite a distance back. We could strike quickly and be gone before help could arrive.
Dodono was stopping us. Look, he's waiting for us to pull alongside.
We'll never get alongside, Billy. Not with outriggers stretching out on either side of both boats.
Malua is looking around, Jack. We're going to stop paddling, too.
Hola! Ba-tang!
Look, we'll hit each other head on.
We'll back water in just a second, Betty.
Boy, oh boy, look at that Dodono standing in the bow of his Vita. Doesn't he look fierce?
He looks funny to me, Billy. Those wide pantaloons and that colored shirt are bad enough. But when he wears a turban on his head, too, he looks as though he'd stepped out of a fairy tale.
He'd be the villain even in a fairy book, Betty. Look at that cruel mouth. He doesn't look a bit like Malua.
Look at that long barong at his side. It looks as sharp as a razor.
It's a bolo, not a barong, Betty. A barong is curved.
I don't care what it is. If I saw a Moro coming at me with one of them, I'd disappear into a great spot. Oh, we're going to hit him.
Barong! Barong! Ho!
That's control or isn't it? I bet you we stop within a foot of their bomb. Oh, look. Malua and Dodono can shake hands if they want to.
Dodono looks as though he'd rather shake Bolo's.
What they're saying. Can you understand them, Uncle Jim?
Not a word, Billy. There are over 80 separate dialects in the Philippines. I know only a few. Well,
from the look on Dodono's face, I'd guess that he isn't any too fond of Malua.
Gosh, no, but he seems to be afraid of Malua, too. Just as though he wasn't exactly sure what Malua could do.
I wonder if Malua has shown him the dragon's eye ring yet.
No, Betty, he hasn't. I've been watching him closely. See how Malua has his finger doubled up in his fist so the ring won't show?
Jumping crickets. Malua can't expect to scare off this whole fleet without the ring.
He's probably saving it for a last resort, Billy.
Well, he'd better hurry up and use it then. That Dodono's looking terribly angry at something.
He's turned away from Malua. He signaled something to his crew.
The warriors have tapped their spears and shields again.
Oh, they're getting ready to attack us.
Sit down, Betty. Our men are ready. Look, half our men have dropped their paddles and picked up their shields and bolo.
Uncle Jim, is there anything Jack and I can do to help?
Yes, Billy. You can keep your head. Malua isn't through with that Dodono yet. Watch him.
Look at them, Billy. They're facing each other. The Dodono's about to give the word to attack. He's reaching for his bolo now.
Look at Malua, Jack. He's stretching out his hand.
That's the hand with the ring on it.
It's the showdown, Billy.
Malua's going to flash that dragon's eye ring before the Dodono.
Come on, come on, ring. Do your stuff.
Look, the Dodono sees the ring. Look at that expression on his face. Well, he's standing like a frozen statue.
Watch him, Billy. He's taking his hand off his bolo. But he isn't saying a word. He's staring at that ring as if he's seen a ghost. Malua isn't saying anything either. He's letting the ring speak for itself.
The Dodono is talking now. Listen to him.
What's the questions about the ring?
Malua isn't saying a word. He's just holding that ring up where the Dodono can see it.
Malua is ringing up now. I wonder why he's pointing down the river.
I bet you he's telling that Dodono to stay away from Carabongo.
The Dodono's getting angry. He doesn't look so cocksure. He's afraid of something about that ring.
He's turning around now. Look, the men are putting away their spears.
Putting away their weapons, too. Boy, it makes me feel a lot better. For a moment, I thought that we'd be in the middle of a first-class fight.
We're not out of the woods yet, Billy. Look at the Dodono. He's pointing to us as he talks to me. There's something afoot.
Maybe he wants Malua to give us up to him as prisoners.
Oh, Malua would never do that, Betty. What are you, Uncle Jim?
Malua would never betray us, Billy. I'd trust him anywhere.
Dodono certainly interested in us, though. He and Malua are both looking at us now.
And Malua is shaking his head. He won't agree to whatever it is the Dodono wants.
Hey, now the Dodono is shaking his head. He won't agree to what Malua wants.
I do wish I could understand what they're saying. Oh, look, the Dodono is telling his boatman something.
They're going to move away. There they go.
Here comes Malua. Now we'll find out what's going on.
Malua doesn't look too pleased, Jack. I'm afraid things haven't gone exactly right.
Well, they haven't gone badly yet. At least we're not being attacked.
Look, Jack, look over to the shore. Some of the Dodono's beaters are edging downstream.
And they're doing the same thing on the other side of the river, too. We'll be cut off if we don't hurry.
Malua sees those beaters, Betty. If it's a trap, he'll know it. Well, Malua, what's happened?
Dodono go back to his beaters.
I see him going back, but is he calling off the attack?
He wait. Later, he go home. Maybe.
What's he waiting for, Malua? Can he make up his mind?
He wait for nighttime. He wait to see bring the shiny knife.
So that's it. He doesn't quite believe it's the real dragon. beacon's eye ring. And so he wants to wait until dark to see if it'll really shine in the night.
That's right, Uncle Jim. When he sees shiny night, he go home. Maybe.
Why do you say maybe, Manuel? Doesn't the ring have the power you thought it would?
Ring have plenty magic. But that's all no like white men. He see you and Uncle Jim and Betty and Billy. And he say, why you here?
Well, what'd you tell him, Manuel?
Me tell him you come in big white boat to bring back ring the shiny night.
Look at those Venus near shore, Magua. You see that they're moving downstream to cut off our escape. Are you going to wait here until dark?
We wait, Uncle Jim. Tato see a ring shiny dark like green dragon eye. Then he knows his true ring.
But even if he knows it's the true ring, will that keep him from attacking the village?
He thinks so, John.
What's that? You're money, man. Supposing you're thinking wrong. Then we're trapped.
No, Billy. We're not trapped. Even if he attacked Billy, he still stay away from us. No more ever attack man who got ring the China night.
Are we going ashore, my dear? Or do we wait out in the middle of the river for nightfall?
We go ashore. Dato, his men go ashore. No hurry. We let them go ashore first.
Look, Uncle Jim. The Dato signaled his fleet. They're all turning into shore.
Not all, Jack. Those Vintas near shore that are cutting off for escape are staying out.
The Dato has gone alongside one of his Vintas. He's talking to some of the men in the Vinta.
Look at the Moro he's talking to. He isn't dressed like the others. He has a white turban and a funny-looking white shirt.
He's Pandita, Betty.
Pandita? What's a Pandita?
A Pandita is a more eminent Moro priest, Betty. The man of the tribe. The Dada would never undertake anything without his advice.
Look, the Vita with the Pandita is coming over toward us.
Oh, maybe he wants to look us over, Jack.
Maybe he'll advise the Dada not to pay any attention to the dragon's eye ring, Uncle Jim.
I hope not, Betty. That ring is all that stands between us and disaster.
He's heading right for us, Jack. What does he want, Manuel?
Pandita no like white men, Billy. And he no like you and Jack one little bit.
What have we done to him, Manuel?
He the one who sent Hurim and Tado to kill you. That time, you show ring the China night. Hurim and Tado run away plenty quick.
You see, Jack, you and Billy made the Pandita lose face when you got away from the Hurim and Tado. He'll never forgive you for that.
He doesn't look as though he'd forgive me for anything. Look at him standing in the bow making faces at us.
Oh, he's not making faces, Jack. That's just his natural look.
Nobody could look that bad naturally, Betty. Look at him. Now he's shaking his fist at us.
Hey, he's calling his name. What's he saying, Manuel?
He say bad thing, Jack. But you no worry. When night come and the rain shining dark, then he keep mouth shut.
We wait.
We've got to wait. Those Vintas downstream have us cut off. So if you guess wrong, Manuel, we're all going to be in a terrible jam.
Jack and the others will be in a jam, won't they? If that dragon's eye ring fails to stop those Moros. And that Pandita certainly has it in for Jack and Billy. He won't let them get away if he can help it. It's going to be a crucial time when night falls. So listen in, all of you, at the same time tomorrow for another exciting episode of The Luminous Dragon's Eye Ring with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, don't forget, with every package of Wheaties you order these days, you're getting 3 more chance stamps to add to your collection. There are 39 of these exciting stamps altogether, every one different. Everyone printed in 2 colors with a picture of one of the greatest athletes in America. You will find 3 chance stamps on the back of each Wheaties package. And if you start saving them right away, I'll bet you'll have your chance stamp collection completed in almost no time at all. You better get some Wheaties.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're full pieces of the bread.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the Piper Hudson High, boy.